Here I come. I'm going to talk to the radio group about the radio.
So we've been discussing some of the little road bumps in the road we've hit so far. We're live right now. I don't know. Do you want it? Oh, okay. We're not going
to. All right.
So we have to. We've identified a couple issues. There was this working group, the radio working group, who spent a lot of time producing content and already have content ready to go. They've identified Live 365,
right?
Which is what the Austin folks use. It's not built on the free open source model that the Obit stuff is built on. But they also do things like license music content for you. So if you accidentally, or maybe even purposely, play.
Which right now, actually, they are doing licensed music. For the majority, what they're doing at Occupy Austin is they're doing live licensed music, unlicensed music. They're not doing as much talk at the moment because they want to get their programming content together and get that all together. So that's Lance at Occupy Austin. If people are listening, you should listen in. www.occupyaustinradio.com. They've got a great little setup going. They are doing snippets of personal stories in between the music, and it is really interesting. They're working right now also on a Just Talk Only station with Live 365 as well. Once they get their programming content under control, then they're going to start to go up with that. So I think they're just trying to get clear on their message before they start doing that kind of stuff.
So I had been sort of thinking about this just in the background since the beginning, but I've been on hold until about 11 o'clock last night. I had just come up with a straw man late last week for some content just to get us up and running. And I talked with Kevin Malley, who produces the Daily Digest, and I thought it would be nice to have him, sort of read that content every morning, live. And then we could rerun. So this is starting from the morning, right? Rerun the GA from the night before until about, lunchtime. Rerun the Daily Digest again. And then fill the afternoon with some programming, because I think a lot of us are late starters. And then do the GA again at night and rerun it once again afterwards or whatever. And just because that's content that is already there, and people are seeing it on the live stream already. Or the reading in on the website, and then ultimately just shoehorning in better produced content over time, right?
And right now we already have the archives of the FSU. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of podcasts that have been sent in to us, poetry readings from the Friday poetry series. So there is actually a lot of content that can be pushed in there, and there is a group who's very interested in news, Occupy News, right at the moment, and developing a show around that. There were lots of people who have come to the working group meeting and are interested in their different content-driven things. Houselessness was talked about as a possible show. Diversity in different veins was talked about a show. LGBT.
Angela wants a show.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Angela would like a show.
What I'm actually thinking as we now are sitting together in a circle like that, this is that we have an opportunity right now to seize the sort of idea of how do we build something in Occupy Boston that truly does represent our values, our agreed upon principles of operation, and that represents a diversity of voices who may not usually have access. We've got a woman of color here, we've got me, this queer 58-year-old lesbian, who always is talking about something. We've Jorge. Jorge has a lot of radio experience, actually, and brings over 15 years. And so if we can figure out how to work out what we're saying we want the rest of the working groups to do, that's great. And we have a medium to actually even, want to use to promote, share it. So that's cool.
I bring the overweight IT guy sort of thing, the beard, the balding. Yeah, I think this actually, if we just sit for even here for 15 minutes, we can kind of have a little bit of the example of how, counterexample maybe to the last meeting, no offense to the last meeting, but of how different people can, you know, get together and actually, you know, talk, work things out, and get things done. So I'm going to grab a chair real quick and let us sit and let's sit and figure this
okay.
out.
All right, I'm going to need to plug in for a moment. So give me just a moment, OB Radio. Perhaps I can get some assistance with cords. I need to plug in. Could somebody help me with cords? Okay. What? No. Matt apologizes for hijacking the programming, but it's not a hijack. It's the people's programs. Uh-oh. Can you grab that modem, Tracy, that's hanging down from the computer? Yeah, thanks. And then I still need a cord. Is it near the table?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe as we're setting ourselves up, maybe you can describe what radio really is.
We don't have any idea.
So it means that right now people can be listening to, if it's an online radio station.
People are listening.
So right now there are.
Oh wow, hi.
It's totally online.
Yeah. And I hope nobody's seen it if I swing the microphone at you as you talk. Do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Sure. Hi, my name is Sarah Francis. And I am in the radio working group and the Tentathon, Tents for Dissent working group. And I sort of flit in and out of other working groups as I see the time opening up.
So many of the other voices you're going to hear in this little conversation, you've heard before. But just real quick, it's myself, Matt.
Tracy.
Hi, it's Tracy again.
Angela.
Hi, it's Angela.
Hi, I'm Brandon.
Hello, I'm Ross.
All right, Ross, you were leading this while you go.
What? I'm tired of hearing myself talk. What am I going for? I stepped into the middle of a conversation.
This is sort of a little bit of inside baseball here, I guess. But you're getting to see horizontal democracy in action, I guess. We had a little realization that there's a radio working group out there, and Occupy Boston IT sort of autonomously said, let's get this going tomorrow, and announced it at GA, and we're just trying to work through now how we can work together and make sure we produce the best content for Occupy Boston. We all have ideas, and we all have energy, and we want to make sure we're all pulling the same direction, right? So, let's see, can you tell...
I liked that you sort of umbrellaed this as horizontal democracy in action. And what I'm thinking right this moment and very happy about is that my experience and perspective of how oppression continues to replicate itself and the dynamics of oppression, especially amongst those of us who actually don't want to continue to perpetuate it and want justice and want to do the work, is that we often engage in behaviors that we just unintentionally and somewhat unconsciously feel like the natural right thing to do, and then don't stop to see how that perpetuates oppression by maintaining the status quo. So the status quo in this country, and I would suggest maybe most of the world, is that those who have the most sort of familiarity and feeling of confidence and, well, maybe not confidence, but, you know, you can move on it, which have typically been a white male patriarchy, they do what they think is the next thing to do, and that's not wrong. While those of us who haven't had as much access, who haven't been viewed as and asserted ourselves as being just as rightly entitled to the same privileges and resources, sort of sit here feeling like, well, how do I break into that? And especially when it's, like I just heard a comment over in this other group that's conversing and having a conversation, of like, well, we just do it the way we do it, and then if we make a mistake, we change it. Well, that is one way. But what we've just done is that there were things going kind of the way that they usually go, and we stopped it ourselves and said, no, we don't want to do it that way. And that's like so beautiful to me.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, I definitely know that as like an IT guy, my first instinct is to, if I can fix it, fix it. And, you know, sort of, and there are twinkle fingers all around.
And I think that every single day, because a lot of us don't have this tech experience and rely upon you guys for that so much. But there's experience, I guess, as Angela says, that other people have and are looking to break into different arenas within this whole entire movement. And I think as we go along, we will be able to find these nice little pressure points where we get to pull ourselves back and say, whoa, okay, we forgot a group. Or, I mean, this has already actually happened to me within the radio working group, and I had to take a step back and say, we need to involve more people, and there needs to be more transparency. And I think it's happening in a lot of different working groups within the movement. But that's good. That's okay. That means that people are being active. They're being forward moving. That means that movement is happening. It just means that we're always kind of sort of check and balancing and working together in every single way that we can. I mean, in the end, we all have the same agenda, which is equity for all of us. So I think we can make it work. And moving on to, you know, like
the
twinkle fingers. we need to come up with like a little, yeah, guys.
Humming maybe.
We need to come up with some idea.
So there's the first thing, the radio and OBIT people should work together on, or little drops that maybe we can have that represent.
Rain sticks.
Unhappy fingers. How do we do that?
Yeah, we've got so many ideas that we, like, I know the four of us have floated around, and I know now I sort of have a sense of how much the radio working group has put together. It really seems like we have enough ideas and content that we could already pack a station 24/7, and that's really great to hear. Because,
and now that we have tech people, we could actually air it 24/7.
But wait, is that going to be the way we split up the duties?
That's not what I mean. I just mean the non-tech people just had a really difficult time sort of figuring it all out without you guys. And we didn't mean to leave you out of the loop. I kind of thought you were in the loop, but that was my fault, actually, my mistake. I left it up to...
This is what happens. We can't all commit to doing, you know, everything all the time and not drop any balls.
No.
Juggling metaphor there, not something else. Sorry. It's been a lot of days of very little sleep,
yes.
So we're all kind of frazzled.
Can we do some happy fingers for all the people who were there? Shh, there we go. All the people who were there the other night, who stayed and stayed, and those who even stayed till 10 of 5.
I know, I stayed till 10 of 5.
I'm so glad I'm not heartbroken about it. Yeah, you know, and like at 1:30, I started saying, talking with people like, gee, do you think they're coming? you know, we were all like, you think they're coming? Do you think they're coming? Has anybody seen them? You know, and then there'd be these rumors that would come, oh, they're over here staging, and, you know, oh, I'll wait till 2:30, you know, 2:30. Oh, they're not here. Oh, are they coming? You know, 3:30. I said, oh, I'll stay till 4. Oh, I'll stay till 4:30. And then I said to myself, 5 o'clock, South Station opens at 5. They're not going to come in at 5. I'm going home. So I waved a flag. Now, I'd already packed up my tent and got it out of there. And I get home at 5:10, and I get the, you know, the text. And I was already in my pajamas. I was already snuggled in. I'm like, what do I do? And so one of my affinity group members called me, and her husband was on site and going to get arrested. And so together on the phone, we watched it all happen. So, I mean, it was another way to experience something. But, yeah, I stayed till 10 till 5.
You know, just while we're talking about that real quick, we, some of the OBIT people, you know, we were on site. And then we got in my car and we drove around sort of looking and didn't see anything. Then we saw some tweets saying, they're out South Boston at Broadway. And, you know, there's a paddy wagon and a bunch of cop cars. And we got there and found that the police van was actually, you know, in a lot with other police cars, because what the person was looking at was the South Boston police station.
So the holding parking lot, basically.
Yeah, they were all off, not, you know, no lights, no nothing. And of course, I dropped everybody off, then went home, and then had this sort of sense of, like, I should go back. I went back, drove around a bit, didn't see anything happening, and went, oh, it's 4:30 or something, I'll just go home. And then, of course, you know, again, you get home, and you're like, no, that didn't just happen. You know?
I think that happened to a lot of us. We were going out of town and leaving very, very early, and I waited and waited and waited, and we left at 4:45. So it was done, unfortunately, for us.
So just throwing in real quick, this ties back to radio in that this can be one of the networks that we use to sort of disseminate some of this information and use it to you know, for broadcasting live at the night something is going to happen and people are seeing things. You know, we can have a call-in system, we can have people tied in, you know, it's yeah.
I was just going to say that we had a call-in this morning. I mean, it was really low tech. We put the phone on speakerphone and held the microphone up to it, but it works.
I did a radio interview. Yeah.
I was like, okay, guys, if you can do it, we can do it. I think this is going to be great. I mean, I think the idea of also having a bit more of a polished content, as we sort of talked about privately a couple of minutes ago, than what's happening on the live stream. The live stream is so great, and it's wonderful and giving information. But it would be nice to have sort of filtered content that's sort of polished and gives a better view of the entire Occupy movement. Because it is hard to catch on the live stream the different groups. It is hard to catch the different personalities in a way that's filtered out to show this is actually the entire group. It isn't just people, you know, yelling on a street corner, which sometimes is what the live stream can be because it's a public foray. I mean,
and it's happening right this moment again. This is the People of Color Working Group. They may very well need and want to have a self-contained meeting, but radio could help us start making more contact with each other, you know, and we can maybe ask them if at some point a couple of them want to come and sit down and chat for a few minutes. And, you know, so, I mean, having working groups streamed would be fascinating in a lot of ways. Well, I was curious what you're thinking about all this.
Which set of all this? There's so much to think about. I think it's amazing. I'm really happy that we can connect. I felt like immediately guilty over having done this because I was like, oh, you know. And it's just like, oh, I was like, oh, crap, you know, I didn't mean to, like, step on anybody's toes. It was just like I was, you know, brainstorming, what can we do? I was pissed, actually. I was pissed, mostly because I stayed till 2. There were no cops. I had to go to New York, so I drove to New York. I left at 2 a.m. and crossed the, you know, New York State line and then get the text. And I was like, what? Ah! And so then I'm like trying to go to this meeting and I'm completely distracted and angry and driving and going, we got to do something. What can tech do? How do we make sure that this like actual occupation stays present? Like we have some kind of presence. And it was like, we have IceCast. I know what we can do. And so IceCast, that's the technology we're using to do the live stream. And so I was like, I know what we could do. And then I proposed it, and everybody's like, yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, that's